The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
It's time for The Drives Top 4 at 4.
Hour number 2 of The Drive underway here on Fan Run Radio. Jake Lester in with the top four at four. It is presented this afternoon by our friends at WaveTech Medical. Catch the wave. Visit WaveTechMedical.com today to find out more about acoustical wave therapy and the myriad ways it can benefit you. WaveTechMedical.com. Jake Lester, what do you got?
Number one, Jeremy Pruitt updated the status of Brian Maurer's injury today in the SEC teleconference, stating, well, he's kind of went through the protocol here, and he's taking some reps.
What's happening right now? Is he
not sure.
Cutting
that's,
in on my thing?
That's Russ's thing.
Well, I was just going to say with well, but I kept going. Well. Anyways, he said, well, he's kind of went through the protocol here, and he's taking some reps, but it will be a game-time decision on that. But he can take some reps as we move forward through the week, and that's what we've done.
That means the doctors haven't cleared him yet.
I think somebody got to Pruitt and told him to stop saying the phrase, got his bell rung.
Yeah.
It's not a good thing to say this day and age. Which
no, I mean, Pruitt to me seems like the kind of coach that when one of his guys gets his bell ring, if they complain about it, he'd like tape an aspirin to the side of their helmet. And he's just that old school.
We all think Maurer's going to start and play, right?
I don't.
Yeah,
no? No. Not after what he just said. What was that last part?
It will be a game time decision on that.
They wouldn't be giving him reps if he weren't playing. He's through protocol. I mean, they're not just going to clear him 48 hours later. I mean, he's going to have to go through the tests and stuff like that.
I don't know. He said, but he can take some reps. Like, as in, that's all we're going to do right now.
He's playing.
Well, we'll see.
That's just like your opinion, man?
Yeah.
Number two.
Move it along here, Jake. Come on. A little pace from you. Keep it up.
Cornerback Jalen Ramsey's been traded from the Jacksonville Jaguars to the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams sent their 2020 and 2021 first-round draft picks, as well as a 2021 fourth-round pick for Ramsey, who was selected fifth overall by the Jags in 2016.
Seems like an awful lot to give up for Jalen Ramsey. Now, is he signing a long-term deal with the Rams?
I don't think so.
So they're giving up two first-rounders.
For a rental?
Yeah, it seems like an awful lot.
I think they're wanting to win now because they just traded Marcus Peters, who the last time I saw him on the field was when he got absolutely Donovan Smith from the Buccaneers tried to kill him on that return. Donovan Smith didn't get fined. The NFL didn't say anything. Nobody's ever said a word about it. But you can go back and look at the video. There's one shot where, I mean, you could use it as an example of what could get you suspended for the year in the NFL.
Number three, Los Angeles Angels have hired Joe Maddon as their new manager today.
Oh!
He will have a three-year contract somewhere in the $12 to $15 million range, and the 65-year-old had a 5.582 winning percentage with the Cubs and brought them their first World Series since 1908 in 2016.
For Joe Maddon, he's moving across the country from Tampa to Chicago to L.A. now, or Anaheim, I guess.
That's a real downgrade there. Going from Chicago winters to Anaheim. You know, like 70 year-round there?
Yeah, I'd say from a climate standpoint, yeah. He's probably greatly improved his quality of life. But
Angels are a good organization, aren't they?
Well, they still got that guy, right? What's his
Mike
name?
Mike Trout?
Yeah.
The best player in baseball with nothing to show for it?
Nah, he's not the best player in baseball, dude.
He said with nothing to show for it.
No, I mean, without qualification, he's not the best player in baseball.
Well, that's not
then
what
who
he says.
Is?
Are you saying that?
I'm saying he's the best player in baseball, but the team is kind of wasting his talent because they haven't made the playoffs in
Well, now they've got the best manager, or one of the best managers.
Yeah, and they have the pitcher that can pitch and hit, and look where it's gotten them.
I'm sure they'll get – they'll remake the team in Joe Maddon's image. Like, they're going to win there. I don't know if they win a World Series, but he's going to –
I mean, I might mention
him in the
top five maybe, but I mean –
I don't know enough about him to offer an opinion, really.
Okay, well, number four, ALCS Game 4 was originally scheduled for tonight, but the game has been postponed due to rainy weather. The Astros lead the series 2-1, and the next game is scheduled to be played tomorrow at Yankee Stadium.
2-1, and the Nats beat the Cardinals?
Punched their ticket. They're in.
The Nationals are going to the World Series.
Yeah.
What a time to be alive. Have they ever been to a World Series before?
They had never won a playoff series before this year, ever, in franchise history.
How about that?
They get rid of Bryce Harper. And Bryce Harper, in his introductory press conference in Philadelphia, misspoke and said, "We're going to bring a title back to D.C." They're doing it, Bryce.
Yeah, big swing and a miss there. Thank you, Trey. Trey's coming up here in just a minute. Jake, that is the top four at four, brought to you by WaveTech Medical. Fellas, if you're struggling with the onset of erectile dysfunction, if this condition is making your love life miserable, if this condition is preventing you from performing, and it's getting worse, let WaveTech Medical, using its acoustical wave therapy, reverse this obnoxious condition. WaveTech, using its FDA-cleared machine, can improve blood flow, rejuvenate nerve fibers, and cause the migration of stem cells to the affected area of concern. WaveTech's acoustical wave treatment is 100% non-invasive. It is pain-free, no pills, no injections, not a Band-Aid either. WaveTech fixes the underlying issues associated with ED. WaveTech Medical. Folks, there's not another clinic in this area that offers this proven and FDA-cleared acoustical wave therapy. It's really remarkable. Check out the website to learn more, wavetechmedical.com. You can call, and you can find the number on the website as well. If you want the number, I'll give it to you. You can call and set up your free consultation, 865-761-4401. That's 761-4401 for WaveTech Medical. And again, that website, wavetechmedical.com. Catch the wave and experience a renewed lifestyle with WaveTech Medical. Let's bring in Trey Wallace. Hashtag pray for Trey. Trey, we talked earlier. I know you're sounding better, buddy. How you feeling?
Hey, man. I'm on the mend, dude, which is good. Fever finally breaking. So glad to be popping back in studio tomorrow, man. And, God, I've feel like I'm going crazy, but you know what? I don't want to get the bear sick and then have him pissed off at me for 3 weeks, so it's all good.
All right. Well, we look forward to having you back in tomorrow. Trey, I know I've seen you active on social media from the sick bed. What do you think, man? Alabama week just doesn't have a lot of pop to it here on the air because I think most fans, with the possible exception of J-Train, don't give Tennessee any chance, any realistic chance to win this game. And it's been kind of a, I don't say dull week, but, I mean, fans are just, they're looking forward to getting past this and moving on to South Carolina.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. I find it kind of interesting, the nighttime kickoff, the late kickoff, you know, by the way, 9 o'clock Eastern time. But, I mean, the players have said all the right things this week through media availabilities. I found it interesting too. You know, we all saw that hit Saturday that Brian Maurer took himself. I mean, it was on him for diving. You know, Juwan Jennings said maybe he should have slid. But didn't you find it interesting that Brian Maurer was actually out of practice Sunday night? Like does the concussion thing maybe not? I'm not saying it's some kind of weird conspiracy, but maybe he just got dinged up, sprained his neck or so. I don't know. I found it weird that he was at practice Sunday night, and then I was told, I mean, he was full go at practice Monday and Tuesday as well. So it's kind of interesting that he's a game-time decision going into Saturday, which is what Jeremy Pruitt said on the teleconference this morning.
My take on all this is that he had a concussion. I mean, several players acknowledged that. Pruitt himself acknowledged that. I just think that it's a situation. He's out there practicing, and it's probably – I'm not out there. I'm guessing that it's just strictly no contact stuff. So, like,
it is. He has been no contact.
Yeah, I'm sure he's out there throwing routes and stuff. And, you know, they don't do a lot. Nobody does a lot of contact anymore anyway at this point in the season. I mean, you're just trying to keep guys healthy. So it's not like they're out there tackling and taking guys to the ground. If there is any, you know, nobody hits their quarterback. So as long as he's doesn't have any headaches or blurred vision, which it sounds like he doesn't, it doesn't surprise me that he's out there practicing. Now, does that mean he's cleared to play? No, not yet. But if he can pass the tests tomorrow and Friday, then I would assume he can play. This is similar to what, remember Garantano in the Missouri game when he just got clotheslined from behind and was clearly concussed? They did the same thing. He practiced the next week. And then he was cleared to play and played against Vanderbilt to little effect. But he played. He got cleared and he got out there and played. I think that's what's happening with Brian Maurer.
Well, who do you think starts on Saturday?
Maurer.
Because I think we're going to find out from Pruitt tonight at his media conference at 5:45. Now, I don't know if he'll give out a bunch, to be honest with you. But, I mean, do you think Maurer starts on Saturday and not JG?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's already said it's a – it's a game time decision, but I think Maurer starts. You know, unless he sits down and they do like computer tests. You know, there's a couple of, you know, just cognitive ability tests that you have to pass through. And if he passes those, yeah, I think he'll start and play the whole game, or at least in the competitive part of the game, and unless he gets hurt.
Do you guys find it interesting that Jameer Johnson, they're switching up the offensive line this week again at practice?
I mean, it's what they do. That's
right.
What we do.
Yeah, exactly.
we just juggle the offensive line. So,
well, I mean, yeah. Slockler's, has they ever said whether or not he's out of protocol?
He is. Well, I was speaking with somebody last night. I mean, he was almost like he was last week. I think he took such a hard hit with his concussion and getting his ring, you know, ringing the bell is what they say. He has not been fully active.
Yeah, but he was out last week, and that didn't affect – you know, they started Ryan Johnson. So it's not like because he's unavailable, this is what they're doing. They're switching Trey Smith from the left side to the right side and putting Jameer Johnson in, where he started all those games last year. So, like, I get that part of it. Trey Smith played right guard pretty much his entire freshman year, but it's just – it's – a little frustrating to me that they can't settle on a starting five.
Do you think they're trying to set up, though, this is kind of, I don't want to call it rhetorical, but do you think they're trying to set up, too, and get everything set for South Carolina with what they're doing right now with this offensive line?
Yeah, that's an interesting thought, probably. It's just, again, it's frustrating to me because I feel like these questions, and I take this all the way back to camp, and you guys remember, I raised this question before the Georgia State game, like a week, all week leading up to that. It's like, it's really weird to me that they haven't settled on a starting five, and every practice report during fall camp was they're just juggling offensive linemen. They're switching them around. Nobody's staying at one position except for Brandon Kennedy. And even Brandon Kennedy was playing some guard. They're just moving guys around, mixing and matching. And I thought that was really strange. And then they did that. They played the game that way against Georgia State. Like, they just switched up the offensive line rotations every single possession. And I just feel maybe I'm old school. I feel like you want to cross-train guys, great. You do that during spring practice, maybe the first week or two of fall camp, but you know, 2 or 3 weeks for that game, that first game, you identify your five best linemen, you practice them and rep them over and over and over again together, and you stick with that unless there's an injury or somebody's just not performing. And we've switched it up every single game. It's really strange to me.
I find it interesting how Tennessee's going to try to run the ball on Saturday, because you know Tennessee's game plan is to drain the clock. You know, how risky does Jim Chaney get when it comes to offense? Let's say if it's third down and four, how risky are they going to get to keep the ball away from Alabama? You know, and involving potentially Austin Pope or Dominic Wood Anderson. You know, and you know, what Alabama does best is run the slant. Okay, well, how many times are we going to get Juwan Jennings or Palmer or Tyler Bird or somebody like that across the middle? You know, that's going to be an interesting game plan to see how they try to run the ball and keep it away. And, you know, I think Maurer is, look, he's not going to learn. It's not going to get any work. You know what I mean? Like, even if you go down there and you do start him, you know, it's going to be a raucous atmosphere for probably the first half, third quarter, you know, with all these new lights and crap that they're doing down there in Alabama. But, I mean, I think if he can get through and I think this team can get healthy, you know, I was speaking with somebody a little bit ago. It's like, okay, get out of here. Don't get beat by 40. Get out of here with something like 34-17, something like that. Play somewhat close.
Oh, I'm going with that Lane Kiffin 09 Florida game yep. plan where
yep.
you're running it, on first and second down, you're running the play clock all the way down to a second or two, some short underneath passes. I'm keeping the ball on the ground, kind of like they did last week, as much as possible to shorten that game. And if you have a chance to be in the game in the fourth quarter, that's fantastic, man. We'll all be tickled to death. But if you don't, and they're just scoring big play after big play with their receivers, then let's shorten the game up, make it as quick as possible, and try and get out of there with as few injuries as possible.
Well, the problem is, too, is you lose Trayvon Flowers, so you're going to be starting somebody different in the secondary, and then you don't have Henry for the first half, and you look at Crouch. Crouch is not fast enough to get to the Alabama running backs off the edge and off the corner. You know, his job is going to be to stop gap the middle of them trying to run it up the gut like George did against Tennessee, and if they can get some kind of productivity out of him in the first half when it comes to even trying to put pressure on Tua. No, but that's going to be, you know, that part is interesting to me because look how does Alabama score touchdowns? Alabama scores touchdowns from running those 10 to 15-yard post across the middle or the slants. If you look at how they even what they did against Texas A&M, I mean, it was just slant, slant, slant. So I'm interested to see how Tennessee's secondary steps up and what kind of defense that they're going to throw at them, Derek Ansley. And if there's one thing that Jeremy Pruitt knows, he knows that Alabama personnel. And maybe he knows certain ways that he can get around the system a little bit, maybe get a couple big plays or two. But I think this is the game, I wonder if you're green or not with this, I think this is the game where you got to step back, you got to go three-step drop, and you got to go throw it up to Callaway or Jennings and see if they can go make some 50-50 plays on the outside. Because if you're going to move the football, I mean, that's maybe one or two ways how you're going to do it is let Jennings and Callaway try to go up.
I like the Arkansas high school. It's just onside kick and go for it every fourth down. And you know, why not, man? Like, what do you got to lose?
I think they scored 47 points against Ravenwood doing that as well, if I'm not mistaken. Somebody had sent me a text saying 61-47. It's going to be interesting on Saturday. I think Tennessee actually, you know, the way the defense has kind of been playing last weekend, I think they have a little spark to them. And maybe they come out and potentially, you know, play some good football, control Tua, control the slants a little bit.
You're venturing into J-Train territory
J-Train
territory.
I promise you on that. I don't think Tennessee's defensive line is good enough to keep up with Alabama's offensive line. But maybe, you know, maybe they come out and actually, you know, they're fired up for the first half and keep this thing kind of reasonable. We'll find out, and we'll continue to talk about it. Hey, on a side note real quick, SEC Media Days for basketball today. Getting you more excited for 2 weeks from today?
I am so fired up about that. We're going to be talking about that on the Rocky Top Report coming up here in just a few. Trey, it's good to hear you sounding better, buddy. We look forward to seeing you in here tomorrow.
Yeah, I can't wait to be in there tomorrow, and Dave, you'll be joining me, Bear, and Jay Train, and then a trip to Tuscaloosa lies ahead. So thanks, guys. Appreciate y'all holding up the end and everything this past week. Sorry I hadn't been there, but feeling a lot better. Look forward to getting in there with you guys.
All good, my man. Thanks for jumping on here. Trey Wallace making his presence felt this afternoon on The Drive. Hashtag pray for Trey. Looks like he's going to pull through. He's a survivor, Trey Wallace.
Yep.
He's going to make it. It's not
your time.
He better
not be sick when he comes back in here.
Huh?
He better not be sick.
I mean, I think he could have come in today, but he was giving us a courtesy day. So I think we're all good on that front. Hey, you need to get your flu shot, though. National RX, free with most insurance. Don't end up like Trey. Don't have a weekend like he just got through having. Go up to National RX in Farragut. Get your flu shot. Tell them the drive sent you. We're back with more right after this.
The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
Into the drive. It's time for the Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoking Hot Question of the Day. Brought to you by Rickard Ridge Barbecue, located in Cove Lake State Park. Online at RickardRidgeBBQ.com.
Should Tennessee continue to play Alabama every year?
No, absolutely not. It's ridiculous.
Who else would you play in
right now? Right now, for us, for Tennessee to win a national championship, it is very conceivable that we would probably have to beat Alabama two out of three times, if not three, in one season. We have to beat them in the regular season. Probably have to beat them in the SEC championship. You know, would they make the playoffs with two losses being in Tennessee? I don't know. But knowing our luck, they probably would, and then we'd have to beat them a third time to win it. I'm tired of playing them, man. Why do we always have to play Alabama?
It's tradition.
I don't
get third Saturday in October.
Tradition third Saturday in October can go to hell.
Oh!
Let everybody else get a taste of playing them like this. We aren't in the West. It's taking me a long time to come to this realization, but
when did you switch? Because you, I'm pretty sure.
When, you know what, I know exactly when
it
was.
They beat us
no,
in a row.
No, it was when that super LSU fan on Twitter, I can't remember, TJ LSU Dad or something, he put together a video of the Alabama recruits.
The things that change your mind. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, the fact that, sorry, that stopped abruptly. That video of player after player with their $70,000 sports cars, it's just they don't even try and hide it.
Who would
the
you
SEC
replace?
Off, who would I replace him with?
From the West, yeah. Auburn?
Probably. Auburn's
decent rivalry with Tennessee, historically.
I mean, if not Auburn, probably. I mean, we used to play Ole Miss every year when I was growing up.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Every year growing up during the glory years, Jake, sit down on Pappy's lap. Let me tell you a story. Don't actually sit on my lap. You're a big boy. I'm kind of frail. The three games to close the season every year, it was Ole Miss, Kentucky, Vanderbilt. That's the way we ended the season every single year.
We always ended the season. We went to Christmas every year happy.
And played Ole Miss every year. We didn't play Florida and Georgia every year.
We played Mississippi State more consistently than we played Florida.
Played Auburn every year.
Yeah.
Had some good games.
What was our schedule? It was Alabama, Auburn, Ole Miss, Kentucky, Vanderbilt.
That was pretty much it as far as being locked in.
And then usually Mississippi State.
We play Mississippi State every year.
Mississippi State a lot when I was growing up.
I would do the Andy Staples model where get rid of the divisions, just have a 14-team league, three permanent opponents for every school, and then you rotate everything else. And that way you play everybody at least once every 3 years.
So ours would be who?
Alabama, we were leaning towards Alabama, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt. And I would take that trade. I would take that trade. I would play Alabama every year if my other two permanent opponents were Kentucky and Vandy.
Yeah. I'd rather have, I don't know. That'd be tough. Because part of me wants to say Florida, Georgia, and Vanderbilt.
Jake, you want to play this game every year?
Yeah.
You like it. You just like the pageantry, the tradition.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
And you think it's cyclical, don't you? It's cyclical. We're going to cycle back.
It's a very streaky series. So I have the thing pulled up here. Tennessee from 1955 to 60. They won 1, 2, 3, 4. They won 5 in a row. Did not play.
55 or 60 is 5.
Actually, no. They tied in 1959. I'm sorry. And then from 1971 to 1981, Bama reeled off 11 straight. Tennessee responded with 4 of their own. Then Bama with
9? 7 or 8?
From 86 to 94. The 93 game was forfeited due to Gene Stallings.
No, it wasn't Gene. It was
Gene.
Oh, he was the coach.
Yeah.
It was Palmer, wasn't it?
Antonio Langham.
That's it.
And then Tennessee responded with another streak of their own from 95 to 01, and then the present, 2007 to present for Bama. So, yeah, I mean, it could turn around. I don't know about soon, but if it does.
You were in second grade the last time we beat them.
Yep. 16-13.
If I had known, it was a beautiful day, man. 2006 in Neyland Stadium. We grinded one out over John Parker Wilson and company, Mike Shula. And if I had known that that was going to be our last win against Alabama, maybe ever, then I sure as hell would have enjoyed it a little bit more. Just being relieved to have won that game and get out of there with the W, man. If I had known that it would be in the 2020s, you know, at best, the next time we win a game. I don't know, man. What do you think? We're getting set to have Harrison Bailey for a couple of years. Does Harrison Bailey leave Tennessee with a win over Alabama?
It's going to take more than one, man. I mean, when we've gone on those runs is when we've had comparable talent to them or better. In the 90s, that
and he's never lost to a pro, like he's never lost to one of his proteges, right?
No,
Saban.
18-0.
So stupid.
So,
I bet you Kiffin could get him if he ever gets somewhere where he can get on equal footing again, as far as recruiting. He's not going to be able to do it at FAU. He could do it at Tennessee, though. I'd take Kiffin back in a heartbeat. Would you trade Jeremy Pruitt for Lane Kiffin right now? Russell, go.
Don't. You can't put me on the spot like go. That, dude. He just won a game, man. We've got to support these boys.
I'm supporting
we've
them.
Got to support the coach.
I'm asking you.
Got to support the
team.
The
limousine pulled up outside, and they said, "Hey, Russell, Bear, you guys get to decide. Thinking about making a trade. We're wanting to get
your
all's approval."
Why is a limousine coming up to ask us this?
This would be some rich
person.
Because
it's Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Lane is actually – he's coming to
no,
you and
no,
me.
No, 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 no. Some money people.
Who's in the – oh, some money people? Just like some sketchy like
– No, like the boosters. You know, like Randy and all of them.
They pull up in a giant Pilot gas tanker.
So Randy Boyd, Big Jim Haslam, Charlie Ergen, Charlie Anderson.
Coach Fulmer.
They all pull up.
Yeah.
And to say,
right now,
Bear Russell, get in. Does somebody come out with a gun and like make us get in at gunpoint? Like, I don't want to go.
No, I'd want to go.
So we get in the back. Is there like, do they offer us a drink? Is it
gas card? Pilot My Rewards card. Preloaded with 2,000 points.
And who controls? Does Fulmer speak for them or is Big Jim doing the talking?
I'd say Fulmer be doing the talking. Big Jim and Little Jim don't need to be there.
And what does he say to us?
I lose my temper.
Because you're going to be like, you're going to be fanboying out. You're like, oh, the battle captain. And I'm going to have to like, Bear, maintain your composure.
No, I would address him. You know, I've actually gotten to meet Coach Fulmer a couple times. You address him as Coach Fulmer.
Phil, and you're good, close, personal friends.
No, nobody We're calls that guy kick. Phil besides Vicky and Trey Wallace. Those are the only
you
two people that refers to him.
You think Vicky said, Phil, can you change the laundry?
No, she probably calls him Philip.
Philip, take the trash out. It's trash night, Philip.
Yeah. Vicky Fulmer, Trey Wallace,
like,
the only two
I'm
people
watching
calling
the game.
First
Get it
night.
Yourself, woman.
I'm working like heck.
All right, so Fulmer's doing the talking, and What does he say to us?
He probably tells you to be quiet, and then he motions me over to the side. I'm like, look, man, I know you got, you know, he's the guy that replaced you, but it wasn't his fault that Hamilton was running you out.
Wait, so you're convincing him? This story is really weird. I thought he was going to ask us if we could make the trade.
It's going to be gonna like pick a dramatic movie.
He's going to pick
scene.
Your brain?
Yeah.
Well, that shouldn't take long.
He's going to say, Russell and Bear, the future of Tennessee football depends on you.
That's what I thought was going to happen. Then we have to make the difficult decision. Do we kick Skull Can to the curb after 2 years of hard work and take back the crazy girlfriend that burned all our clothes and then skipped town with the neighbor? Do we take her back? To which I would say no.
He hands you a manila folder.
I'm saying yes all the way.
You pull out a piece of paper and you say no.
No, I would say yes. Does our coach struggle with game management? Does he struggle with basic subject verb agreement? Yes. These are difficult things for our head football coach, but he's our football coach. And Lane Kiffin had his chance and he left us. And I'm not going back to him. That's what I would tell Coach Former. I would look him in the eye and say, hell no. I ride with Skull Can.
I take Lane Train.
Rickard Ridge Barbecue, smoking hot question. Should Tennessee continue to play Alabama every year in football? We'll give you the at Fox Sports Knox Twitter poll results coming up next.
Was and the best there ever will be. This is The Drive.
Fox Sports Knoxville, The Drive continues. Today's Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question. Should Tennessee continue to play Alabama every year? 230 votes cast at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter. 56% of the audience says yes. They like that tradition, Bear. They want to keep banging their head against that brick wall. It's cyclical, man. It's all going to come back to you. This is a hell of a cycle. This is a hell of a cycle. 14 years.
You said it yesterday. It's been compounded. They're at their best in program history, and we're at our absolute worst.
What's the all-time series record, Jake? Can you look that up? Tennessee-Alabama all-time series record?
53-38 or something like that. Hold on.
Like, we had gotten it relatively close.
What's 55-38-7 Alabama, and this is the longest win streak in the series by either team.
So they were only like 5 games ahead of us before the wheels fell off this time.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem very cyclical to me.
Tennessee's longest win streak is 7.
Glad we had a 7-game win streak, but they've beaten us 58 times, man. That's called a
55
big advantage.
You have no commitment to winning, Russ.
You're the one who says you don't want to play the game.
You give me Lane Kiffin and I will. You're the one who doesn't want Joey Freshwater up here. How bad do you want to win?
You did go back to the crazy ex, didn't you? You went back to her time and time again in your younger days.
Multiple times, yeah, absolutely.
You just couldn't get enough, huh? Yeah. Just liked the crazy, liked the drama, needed it on a visceral level. Like,
oh yeah, thriving chaos.
What's the craziest thing she ever did to you? You don't have to give names. She burn your clothes, fool around with your friends.
No.
Wreck your car. Like,
I had a garage sale when I left for a weekend when she didn't want me to.
Do what now? You were having a garage sale?
No.
And
Oh, yeah.
She sold some of your stuff?
Yeah. My leaf blower, much other stuff.
Huh. Without asking?
No.
And you came back for more, huh? You overlooked that.
Yeah.
That's not too bad.
Broke a plate over my head. It was a thin one, but still. It's kind of like, you know, the Waffle House plates, like you look at them and you look like you could smash about 3 of them over somebody's head. There's a plate like that.
You could really do some damage with those Waffle House plates, man, those circular ones.
Depends on how you hit, what edge. If you hit it on the edge, yeah, you mess somebody up. But
just like flat on the, right on the middle, pop!
It'd just shatter. About 1 million pieces. Might cut you.
Waffle House, no stranger to domestic violence.
Have you not ever gone out with a crazy? Cray?
Not.
Yes, me?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, it's,
tell me more.
No, I mean, it's I would get out of there like as soon as the crazy reveal. See, I'm not like you, man. I don't deal well with them. I'm just like, oh no, I'm crazy.
I just keep watching TV
while the craziness is happening.
Oh yeah.
Well, then you haven't dated. It's not that crazy. Crazy one's not just gonna sit there and let you watch TV.
No, they do stuff like, you know, hit you over the head with a plate.
Yeah. You know, break your TV, stand right there in front of you, make it just generally impossible to.
I think everybody's had one like that.
Bear, what do you think Lane Kiffin's record at FAU is right now?
I have no clue because I'm not a nerd. I don't follow it that closely. I know he's at FAU. You put him in a big school with a big recruiting budget, and I don't care about what his record is at
big
FAU.
School at a big recruiting budget like USC,
where he was operating under draconian scholarship reductions and players that were allowed to immediately transfer out. I mean, it worked out for us. We got Malik, but you know they weren't going to let him be successful out there.
He's 20-12 at Florida Atlantic. First year 11-3, then slipped to 5-7. Now 4-2. It's better than our record.
You just jump over there with Russ on the anti-Lane train.
Breaking news this afternoon. Let's head to the Fox Sports Knoxville Breaking News Desk. Brock Osweiler is retiring from the National Football League. In related news, Brock Osweiler was still playing in the National Football League.
Is he a quarterback? Who did he play for?
Remember, Texans. He was Peyton's backup with the Broncos the year they won the Super Bowl. Remember, he
and Peyton would never let him take snaps or at the end.
Peyton did get
games?
Hurt, and like Osweiler played a little bit, and then Peyton came back.
Yeah, because the rest of the Broncos wanted Peyton to play. Wanted Peyton out there. Remember, they were going to lose that game against the Chargers. They don't put him in.
Well, and it really felt like what happened. Like it felt like he was going to be the heir apparent, and then he left. Right, he left for the big payday with the Texans instead of staying there with the Broncos.
Then who did they? They traded him, didn't they?
Yeah, he was terrible, and he ended up going to. Did he go to
Cleveland?
Cleveland,
like Cleveland ate that.
I will always wonder if he had stayed in Denver with Kubiak and the Broncos, could he have just kind of. He played good early
in that season. And
I thought he was going
to
be good.
But it got to the end, and the defense figured out that I think they knew how good their defense was, and they knew that Peyton wasn't going to throw him out of games. He wasn't going to win them a lot of games, but the defense knew if they had somebody who could just game manage, and that was – you know, Peyton was at the game managing portion of his career, and they got a Super Bowl out of it.
He was drafted by the Broncos. Then sent to the Texans, then the Browns, then the Broncos again, and
that's
then
right.
with the Dolphins.
That's where careers go to die right now. Do you think they're tanking for sure, Russ? I've heard a lot of people talk about that deal on Sunday where they didn't even really try.
It was a weird – the two-point conversion was just – it looked really sketchy.
I think Fred Smoot, a couple of the Redskins were, you know, saying it was pretty obvious to them on the field.
They're starting a new quarterback this week.
I just can't imagine. I mean, how does that work? Does Flores jump on the mic and tell is it Rosen is the quarterback?
Yeah, Josh Rosen.
Does he tell him?
It was.
Who was it?
Was Josh Rosen.
Who they start?
But
now?
on that 2-point conversion, I'm talking specifically. That was Rosen, right? He jumps. Does the head coach actually jump on the mic and say, "Listen, man, we can't score this, like just throw it into the dirt or like make it look good"? I just can't imagine that happening, man.
If it was said, it wasn't said on a microphone where somebody could hear it.
As like Ben Franklin said, man, three people can keep a secret in this world, but only two of them are dead.
Only if two of them are dead.
That would get out, you know. You say that in a huddle with 11 other football players standing around, somebody's going to be like, "Whoa, wait a minute." Are they going to go home and tell their wife, or, you know, a trainer's going to overhear? Like, it'd get out that this is what happened.
Absolutely.
So that's why I just think they're that bad.
They're pretty rough.
I just think they're that awful.
Miami coach Brian Flores said after the game, Rosen is the guy. He said, he's done a good job. You never just want to pull a guy for one bad game, and now they've announced that Ryan Fitzpatrick will start next week.
Well, there you go. Folks, we're live in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios talking Tennessee, Bama, a couple of other things, other topics we got to get to here this afternoon. Let's get some phone calls going here. 865-546-8200 if you want to hop on the Nextdoor Home Group Hotline. 546-8200, your number to jump in. Stay with us. We're back with more right after this.
Up the drive. You can only hope to contain it.
Fox Sports Knoxville, it's The Drive, 10 till 5, wrapping up hour number 2 of the show. Portions of our show brought to you by Citizens National Bank, the official bank of The Drive. CNBTN.com, go local, bank from anywhere, trust their Go Mobile Banking app to let you safely and confidently bank from your home or while you're on the go. Check out CNBTN.com for more information. Download their mobile banking app. Let's get John Tweet in here next. Good afternoon, Tweet. You're on the drive.
Dubsy.
Yes.
I don't really care that we play him every year. I think you should make Georgia and Florida both have to play away, though. Take away that cocktail bowl thing.
I gotta like it.
Why did? Well, it's not really a level playing field.
Sure, it is.
Not for the rest of the side
why
of our
not?
Conference. No, it's not.
Why?
Because they don't have to go into the other ones. I mean, it's just a neutral field game.
Yeah, but they don't get to play at home every other year either.
I don't, Russ.
I mean, it evens out, right? I mean,
I don't think so. But that's okay. I don't really have a super well thought out point on it. I just don't
Do you think it would be an advantage with I'm trying to think of a good example. Georgia, for instance, if we played Georgia every year in Chattanooga with 50% of the tickets going to Tennessee fans, 50% going to Iowa.
I think playing in the other opponents is a much tougher game than a neutral site game.
Yeah, but
they're each getting a year off, I guess.
But playing them at home with 90% partisan crowd in your favor is a huge advantage by that same logic.
I told you I don't have some super well thought out point here, Russ. I'm not ready to stand up to your logic.
You're a little boxed in.
I just don't like it.
How about we move Tennessee Bama to a halfway point like Atlanta? Something like that.
You could play that in Africa. It wouldn't matter. We'd still lose by 30. Until Saban dies, we don't have a chance.
Maybe we should kill him.
It's a bit morbid. I probably.
What the hell did you just say?
Yeah, scratch that.
I wouldn't have suggested it. It's probably for the best if it happens.
I'm the morbid one.
He needs some.
Okay, we don't kill him. We'll just go Celtic Pride. Let's kidnap him. You know, we'll feed him.
Russ.
We'll put him up in a hotel room. Feed him 3 squares a day. We'll send Miss Terry a letter and let him know that he's okay. But we just won't let him.
I cannot do that part of it. There is something plantation esque about the Alabama football players referring to her as Miss Terry. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Why? That's how people call ladies.
Yeah.
If somebody bought you a car, you'd call them whatever you wanted. I wouldn't wish maim or disfigurement or death. Maybe just an inoperable disease.
No.
How is you? That's not worse than what you said.
Yes, it is.
No, I'm
letting him live out his life in comfort. It's not like
what?
He has
you
any.
You said you could kill him. What are you talking
no,
about?
No, I'm. You're just kidnapping him. We'll put him up in a nice hotel, 3 squares a day, give him plenty of entertainment and everything.
Make him break down Tennessee game film. Help coach here. Be an analyst.
Now you're thinking.
You talk about putting him in a tower like Rapunzel or whatever.
Yes, exactly, like Rapunzel. Saban, let down your playbook.
What have you? Do we have an update on the Slavic Nightmare, Euros?
Nope. Rick Barnes was at SEC Basketball Media Day today in Birmingham. He said no update.
I think it was you, Russ, that had told me privately, not you and I were speaking privately, but Barnes was saying privately that they thought they were going to be okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's saying that. I wonder if he has any inside information or if he's just, like, trying to will it into existence or I'm a little bit skeptical. I don't think that it's not going to happen. I just think it's the NCAA. It's 50-50, man. Who knows?
Am I hearing correctly that there are kind of more and more people or whatever you call it, crystal ball, calling for Springer to announce for Tennessee?
Yes.
God, that would be beautiful.
Think it's going to happen. Think it's going to happen.
I mean, that next class coming in.
It's going to be
loaded.
Unbelievable. Thanks, Tweet. Got to run,
beautiful.
Man. Appreciate the phone call. Stay with us. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio. Hour number 3 coming up.